crowd of the Rock had done that. He was a comical fella anyway. Well, yes, was.
He's the one that had the jam.
Yeah. No, no, no. Lum Riddle had the jam.
Oh, Lum Riddle.
They was up at. They lived up at. Deadwaters, Lum did. Uncle Parris Cobra lived up there, or Uncle Parris Hammonds, he lived up there, and Lamb lived up there, and so they come down to the, come down Williams River, they always called it to the Big Slip, and they camped there and sang, and Uncle Jess said he brought this jar of jam with him, and Uncle Jess said that every time they'd go to eat, they, I don't know how long they'd camp there, and that every time they'd go to eat, why, he'd take that jam out and eat it and just tell Uncle Jess how good it was, and he never did offer Uncle Jess by the jam. And so they went out one day singing and coming back in. Uncle Jess said he got in pretty close to camp. He found where a big bird manured there. And he said he'd been eating blackbirds that just looked like that jam. So Uncle Jess said he'd come on in. And he said he just finished up the jam for Mom, and he said he went back out and put some in the jar out of that, just about what he'd eat, he said. He said when Mom come in, he said he was sitting there, and he said got his jam out. He said he put a little on his bread, and he said, Uncle Jess said he looked up, and he said, well, I'll be damned, he said, I believe my jam, or my jam has served. He said, I believe my jam served.
Is that for Will?
I've heard Uncle Jess tell that. Sherman, did you ever see that book where Sherman them put out?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've got that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
They tell about that. Did you ever see it?
That book, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah, on that record?
Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to that record I don't know how many times.
I let Bob have it up here, and he got a lot of kick out of that. Ever Gregory, he used to entertain his company when they come with one of them. He bought it and kept it over there for I don't know how long.
It's either that record or another one that I've heard. Is interviewing this old guy about trapping bear. Is that on there? And he said that. He's a real old fella, and he said that I asked him what did he use for bait to trap them bear, and he said bear guts. Well, you know, the guy asked him the questions, he just kept wanting to know where did he get the first bear guts to catch the first bear, and the old fella just kept telling him, bear guts, you damn fool. But that's all he could get out of him. I thought it was on that record.
They talk about in that book. They talk a lot about the witches and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You ever hear any stories about that? About people being witches? Somebody told me that up on Thomas Mountain lived a woman, and everybody around thought she was some kind of a witch. Did you ever? Her name was Clevenger, I think.
What was that?
People told me that old Johns lives over on the Herb Aiken side. Missouri Run. He told me that years ago there was a woman lived up on Thomas Mountain, and I believe he said her name was Clevenger. But everybody around thought she was some kind of a witch.
Well, now wait, now.
Well, the Armand Trout was.
No, that's who it was.
It was
the
Armand Trout.
That's who it was. And she had that boy.
Armand Trail?
Yeah, comes to
the store. Yeah, Brooksy.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
I know her.
I'll tell you. go ahead, yeah.
Huh?
What did you hear about her? Do you know anything about her?
Well, she told fortunes.
Did she?
She was a fortune teller. Why, they'd go there by the droves. for her to tell their fortune. Yeah, then if they lived down there at Erbakan, her husband, he was, he was one of these half lawyers or something. And so he passed away, and her and Brooksy moved up there, and they bought that Skeens place up there. Skeens has lived up there. Yeah, they would go off all over the country. Heard she just tell them some awful stuff, I reckon. I don't think I ever went, but I know some of the other ones in the family went. And some, 'cause some of them claimed that she could absolutely tell some stuff that did come true.
I went to school with a girl that she went to her, and it was true. It was true could be, but it come true on her.
They said she could.
No. This girl is a kin.
Well, I'll tell you, she just looked like a witch, didn't she?
Yes, she did. He didn't look much better either.
No.
I remember old Brooksy, the Roberts that lived, Donna's dad. He lived up behind Doc, he'd be Doc's father-in-law. What was his name? One they found dead over Missouri Run, a singing.
Oh, or Hazel.
Hazel, yeah. Hazel's kids was walking out to catch the school bus real early one morning, and they'd make fun of old Brooksy because he was a weird-looking thing.
Wore an overcoat all the time.
So year-round, the male difference is 100 degrees. Wore a great big old heavy overcoat to come to there. And hair, that's for people who wore long hair, And his hair was curly and it was real long. And every time they'd walk by him, they'd tease him, or something other. And he just jumped out in front of them and told them the teasing was over. I didn't know. When you mentioned that name, I didn't know you talked about him.
Yeah.
Farming trap. I think the old house piece of it is still standing.
Yeah.
Last time I was up there, it was. Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that old woman. I believe her. Yeah.
Well, that Rosie Johns over there, she told me, she said that, she said people used to say that she sold her soul to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
She'd say.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
The last few, I don't know where Brooks had got his money or nothing, but the last few years that he lived, about once a year, he'd come down out of the holler. That's when Doc first moved down there and opened the store back up. Brooks had come down out of the holler, and he's all cleaned up, and he had had lard in his hair. He had that hair all, didn't have no cap on, he had a suit on. He didn't have his old big overcoat. Had that hair all slicked back like that, and it was hanging just in a wad, back here. But the front of it looked good, but the back of it looked awful. And Doc asked him where he's going. He's going to Las Vegas, gamble. And he done that for a few years. To gamble, buddy. He go out there and live rip. Come back home. Well, he was supposed to be a real smart person, wasn't he, Brooksy?
Yeah, they claimed he was smart, but...
Well, they tried to commit him to crazy house, and the doctors told him the only thing they could see wrong with him was just sitting on the wrong side of the table. He should be able to sit questioning them instead of them questioning him.
But I'll tell you, his dad was a rough old rascal. Alan Armentrout.
Brooksy's dad?
He was a big fella. He'd weigh, I expect, 200... 25, 30, maybe 40 pounds. And fight a bandsaw.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. He had plenty of nerve.
Did you ever see him get in?
Hmm?
Did you ever see him get into it with anybody?
I've seen him argue a time or two over there when I used to be at Erbakan a boy, but they didn't fight. They didn't get around him. Close enough to fight. Yes, sir, he was rough.
There's something, I don't know whether Jerry be interested in it or not. Tell him a story about the bear squeeze.
About what?
The bear squeeze down on Skiles. You ever heard that?
Yeah, that was a mollifin crawled in the den on one over there on Skiles.
Uh-huh.
And it's squeezed, and when it come out, that's up on that road fork, right just up behind where the mines was up there. They'd shot it over on the little birch side over there, and followed it over there and went in there, and we went into this den there. I've been to the den, and it went in that den, and...
Now what fork was that in?
Over on the road fork of Scars. You know where the mines was up there?
Yeah.
Well, Uncle Tom lived right across over from the mines over in that bottom. Well, now that pine is coming right off above the house he lives on there. It's right on that ridge you're going up there. On right up on that pine there. I've been to it when Uncle Tom lived there. I've been to it a different time. And so he thought he would crawl in, and by Jordan he crawled in. It was pretty gnarly where you went in, and it mashed him to death there. Huh. It come out and fouled him in there. But it come on out.
The bear squeezed.
Then the one this Barnett lived down here on Birch, he over on Poplar over there. He'd went over there, that was all. I don't know, I guess that must have been Dennis's. No, it wouldn't have been Dennis's dad, I don't reckon. But anyway, it was the same bunch from down there. And he'd went over on Poplar, had a little old dog with him. And he always took hunting with him, and he'd shot a bear over there and it crippled it. And his dog went in, and he run in to help his dog, and the bear got him by the wrist. And he didn't have nothing but his knife. And by George, he chopped that thing with that knife till he killed it. But in the time of it, he'd cut his thigh with his knife, and he was on the, I don't know where he was, on the first side of Poplar, on the same side that he come out, and he come out to the, he crawled from where the bear, where he got hurt, up to the top of the hill, turning over next to the head of the holler, comes down where the Hoover place is down mm-hmm. there. And he crawled up there into a little old rock he'd gotten under up there. He was just about bled to death. And he tied a rag around that dog's neck and sent him home, and he come home, the dog did, and they knowed there was something wrong, and they gathered up a bunch and went to hunt for him. And they let the dog get away from him. The dog went back to him, but they let the dog get away from them. And this Boffman down near at Skiles, when they found him, he was so near blood to death that that Boffman went to the Poplar side, carried water back in his boot for him to drink. He was that near blood to death.
Far away. Shoot some questions.
I'll tell you, if we just had the nerve that them old people had, we'd have been all right. I know Granddad Roberts, he had a bear dog, and I've heard Mother and them talk about it. They said that dog, he looked like a cur. They said he was about as big as a yearling, and he had a little old black hound just a small dog that they always hunted together with it, and he shot a bear and crippled it, and the big dog had catched it, and it was a squeezing his big dog to death, and that little old dog run in, but he couldn't get the bear to let loose, and they said Granddad run in and knocked the bear loose with his fist from killing his dog. His dad said each when he was just the boy, him and I've seen the tree over on Antony. Him and Daddy took Dad with him coon hunting one night. And so Dad said the dog had treed, and so of course he said Granddad knowed what it was, but he said that they got up to the tree. Why, he asked Granddad what the dog had, and Granddad had told him he thought it was a wildcat, but he knowed it was a bear. And so he got up above the tree, just had an old rifle now, just an old mountain rifle is what he had. And he got up above the tree, and he told Dad to go down, take the axe, and go down and pound on the tree. And he said, if I shoot, he said, you run back up here to me. And I believe he said, if I holler at you, to run back here to me or something. And Dad went down and pounded on the tree. It's an old big chestnut tree. It's a powerful old big chestnut wood. And it poked its head out of the hole, come out of the hole. And he shot it, and it fell out and hit, and the old dog was fighting down below the tree, and Granddad just grabbed the axe out of Dad's hand and the lantern, and he went in and helped the dog kill the bear.
Was there any mountain lions or panthers or whatever you want to call them?
I never knowed of any that, now there was a wolf on Antony over there, the last one I ever heard out of, these Georgians that lived over there. I don't know whether they killed it or they crippled it, but got onto their sheep over there. That's the last ones I ever know to be in this country, and of course I didn't know nothing only about that, only what they told me. There've never been none that I've ever known of in my time. This happened before I was born.
Well, I believe they're there. Because I've seen tracks, and it was a perfect track. It's that big around.
Where is this? You're talking about panther?
Yes, sir.
Where?
In Skiles.
In Skiles.
I showed it to Freddie Hayhurst year before last. I seen tracks in the snow and come home, and I told Lynn, I said, Lynn, you go get an encyclopedia. I seen something today, I don't know what it is. And she went and got it, you know, and so I started looking, and I found it. And I was telling some fellas to mines about it, and they was laughing at me, and I found tracks in the snow, and it's fairly fresh. And year before last, this boy asked me if I knew where we could go catch a coon. I told him, yeah, Skiles, I knew where an old she and some cubs was. And that's the second time I'd seen that track, and that's been 2 years ago. That's right when Vaughn, something scared him to death down in the garage. You remember that? A squalling and carrying on? That's been a couple years at the same time. And I showed Freddie Hayhurst, and he said, what the devil is that? He said, I've never seen a track like that. I said, that's a mountain lion track. I looked it up. It's there perfect. It was there.
Well,
I seen three places.
Me and Dad was together. We was in Tulik on Birch. We'd went up Beaver. And went up the divide between Birch and Beaver there. And we come out on that a spur pint coming down between Night Run and one fork of up there of the Tulik. And we found a track there. It had been a run. And I never seen no dog track anyways near as big, and it didn't look like a bear's track. And me and Dad looked at it there, and Dad thought that was a panther, but a panther's track. Of course, we didn't know, but that's what he thought it was. And that's the only track I ever seen.
Buddy, I pictured this track. I really got a good picture of it, you know, in my mind. And I kept that picture there until I got me a book to where I could see the picture. And I've seen it three times, once on the Poplar side, once in Skiles, you know, and then once on Thomas Mountain. In the snow, that's where I seen it, the snow.
And seems like we'd been over there to Buzznack, went over there to go fox hunting or something with him. And me and Dad was going to come back home. and we'd been up into the upper part in above buzzes up there, and we'd come back through there, and we was coming down that point there. We was going to come off down there at night run. And this thing is high up on the hill, right just under the top of the hill. It had been a running, and that doggone thing had been a jumping for 6 or 8 feet. I never seen no track like it, and I've never seen none since. And Dad kind of thought it might be a panther.
Well, they all got to hear it down there with me. I wanted to hear it so bad. Bill, Lynn, Alan June, Fran, Vaughn, they all got to hear it. Now, Bill said it absolutely scary in the house. They heard it. They heard it walking, you know, and they heard a squall. Now, it scared Cord Vaughn. He's not too brave anyway when it comes to something like that. It scared him plumb to death, buddy. That's about when Bill born. Go ahead.
I was going to say, did your father ever talk about panthers? Did he ever, in his lifetime?
No, I don't know where he ever had any experience with them or not. I never heard him say about it.
I was often wondering if that wasn't what followed me at Rexall's there at night. Because, buddy, you could hear it just as plain. I'd speed up, it'd speed up. I'd slow down, it'd slow down. And Hazel Fowler picked me up. First thing, I'll never forget it. I didn't know who it was then, you know, who he was. First thing he said when I got in his Jeep, he said, "What's the matter with you, son? You scared to death?" And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because you're wise as a Jeep." I was scared, buddy. Right there, Rogers, in that curve, right there, to the top of the hump at Rexall's, and it crossed the road in front of me there. Now, it was 2 or 3 weeks before I went to courting again. I didn't have enough. Because there wasn't no traffic in. When you was a young man in Cranberry, I think it was you that was telling me, it might have been you or Orville or Jess or one of them, that you all was up in there doing something, fishing, hunting, thing or something, running into the game warden, told him about the deer that you all seen. It was the first deer that was in this country after they all got killed out. And they stalked someone. Wasn't that you?
Yeah, that was me and Brant and Glenn, mm-hmm. My brother. Mm-hmm. That was on the divide but we'd crossed the divide between the North Fork and the South Fork of Cherry. And we'd come down, a creek they call Rabbit Run. And we'd been a coon hunting, and we was coming from the South Fork over to the North Fork. We was going to stay over there a night or two. We'd been up there camping, and we run into this bunch of deer up there on this pint. And so when we'd come on home, and then we'd back up there one Sunday, just went up walking around. We was going up next to where the old North Bend camp was. We didn't have no gun or nothing with him. The game warden come along, and he was in his car. They had that road up there then, but of course it wasn't a paved road or anything. That's just a road up the creek there to North Bend. And so he stopped and wanted us to ride on up to North Bend with him. And so we got in the car with him and rode on up there. And so we was telling him about that little bunch of deer we'd find up there. And he said that him and some other feller had found him, and he said, "For God's sakes, don't tell anybody." He said, "We want to try to get him started." It looked like there might have been, three or four or five.
Maybe that whole deer population up Williams River come from those four or five deer. Because it is completely killed out, this area.
Do you think they were ever completely killed out, the deer?
Well, I don't know. They was awful scarce if they wasn't. I'm telling you. You know, the first deer I ever saw in my life, I saw it in that bottom right above where you live. And it was a tame one. Belonged to Mr. Prine's up on top of the hill. I was just a little old fella. And we was there, and we had a mare there. We called her Cricket. And I don't know how we come to notice it, but anyway, it had come down to Jones Fork. I reckon it had come down it or come off of the hill something, up next upper end of that bottom. And she was happened to be up there feeding, And boy, she got sight of that, and I'm telling you, she brought it right down through that bottom, and it went turned up May Fork and went over the fence. Now you talking of a race they put her on. And it wasn't but a few days till, well, maybe 2 or 3 days till that fella it belonged to up there, Mr. Prines, lived up there. He had a bunch of stuff up there. He had deer, he had coons, he had foxes, he had skunks. He had a place fixed up there, and he had all that stuff up there at his place. That was Hernan's dad, and so he come over there, and he'd come down there to see if we'd seen the deer. He rode the mule over there, rode it down May Fork. And that's the first deer I ever saw. And brother, she put it out of there in a hurry.
Glenn told me one time that one of your cows got up on that rock cliff behind the house there and fell right off of that thing and got up and walked away. Maybe that was...
Well, I...
He said that happened. He said one of the cows
it
came right over that rock cliff, and they thought it was killed, and it got up and walked away.
Did Gad live on that hill? Did anybody live on Gad Hill then?
No, there was nobody up there when I was over there.
Was there a house standing up there?
I can't remember the house. There wasn't no house the first time I was ever up there. The old rocks and stuff's up there with the house set and stuff, but I never can remember no house up there.
I found the spring.
I found a well.
Yeah,
the well, it's all filled in somewhere.
You found the cemetery up there, ain't you?
Yeah.
Out on the pipe there a little ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they drug logs right through it when they timbered it.
They did.
Right. Yeah, I showed Lynn week.
Boy, they are.
It's been about 2 weeks ago when I had on
Gad Hill. Stones over?
And knocked one of them over. Big old red oak about that big round. They drug it right through it. Mm-hmm. And their skid road ain't no far from here to you away from it. Pay no attention.
I killed squirrels out of that red oak, I bet. Right next to the cemetery.
There. Yeah, big red oak set right there at right there at the cemetery. They whacked her down and drug her right through it. Well, the way it fell, they may fall right in the cemetery. Because the stump's over here and the cemetery here and the treetop's over here. They drug her right out of it.
That's pretty
rough. Herschel over here, Herschel Gad, she talked a long time ago she'd like for me to take her to that. It's her relative, some of them. And I told her I would, and so she finally kept on going so long. So the last time she ever mentioned it, I told her I didn't believe she could ever make it up there. She,
no.
So she decided then she wouldn't try to go.
No, that's a hard walk.
Wilson T, I think is the one stone.
Wilson T. Oh, we just looked at that the other day when we was up there. Huh. I think, now there's one stone up there. There might not be nobody living up there, you know, but they carried him all the way back up there to bury him because there's a stone up there marked about, I think it was 29. In 29, it's a factory-made stone.
You don't know who it could have been, do you? Did any name or anything?
I'm pretty sure it was a Gad.
Oh, I'd say it's been a Gad.
You get to look around, that cemetery bigger than what you think it is.
Oh, you know,
there's a lot of the headstones that was rocked.
Out here on this Mullen Ridge.
Yeah, that's a big cemetery. I know just exactly where it is.
Neil said he was coming by it one day, and he said he supposed a bear had done it. One of those little old stones, you know, the square one sets up. It had carried it way out around the mountain from the cemetery, and Neil gathered it up and carried it back. He said he didn't know what in the world it had done. Must have been a bear. Carried it out there. But he brought it back to the cemetery.
Maybe got tired or something.
My God, I know that. That's my stomping grounds when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I know all that area.
Huh?
That was my stomping grounds when I was a kid.
Did you find that little camp rock there?
Oh yeah, I was camping on that rock.
Me and Bill camped there one night.
Yeah, I know just exactly where that is.
I think probably one of the oldest stones, gravestones in this country is down there at the mouth of the Skiles. It slid off the hill.
Where did he?
So Christian Baughman died in...
Where's it slid off? Where's it in?
It's right at the mouth of the Skiles. It's on the left-hand side.
Going up, left-hand side?
No, it's right at the mouth. It's right where he starts, you know. You know where Rick DeMoss lives up on there? It's right around
the hill this way from.
Yeah. Real close.
A little road going up around to it.
What's that?
A cemetery right there on the, coming off the point behind the old schoolhouse in that way. Right behind the old schoolhouse. Yeah,
that was Baughman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, that about 1830 or 1840.
Well, I don't know. That's who it was, I know. I've been through it many a time.
But there's two of them there, him and his wife, and one of them fell over and slid right down the bank.
They're just little flat fellers.
Yeah, little flat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When was the day gone?
I think he died around 1840, something like that.
Well, that graveyard I was telling you about. Grand Spike, I think it'd be in behind Rexel's, back there somewhere. There's a big graveyard up there, and they keep her cleaned up, too.
Rexel's?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a pretty good-sized graveyard. I ain't been to it, like, coming up, Bert. It's just going over on Beaver and going up that one fork of Beaver going to it. It's a good, clean... Now, there's some old ones in that, buddy. Mm-hmm. Do you know where that is? There's two over there, two cemeteries over there.
Just on the Beaver side?
Yeah. It's on a divide between Birch and Beaver. Right on a high point.
Did you ever read that story about that rattlesnake Bill Dodrell wrote and talked about coming up Birch in 1840?
Mm-mm.
And talked about who lived there? It was Christian Baughman, Billy Barnett, maybe one or two other families. From Birch to Cal. That's a good book. Moccasin Tracks, it's called.
Oh, yeah. Lynn's read it, but I haven't read it. Don't you all have that book?
No, we ain't got it. I don't think she's got that. She's got, let's see, she's got a book on someone over there, but I don't think
it's... I think it's Jenny Wiley, ain't it?
No, she got that. She did that. Nothing to that. She got that just a little while back.
Yeah.
Did you ever know that rattlesnake Bill Dodrell?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he used to be over to Webster Springs.
Mm-hmm. I guess he came from down on... Poplar, I guess, was it?
No, on top of the... Well, it's put near it in the head of that shingle tree holler down there on Birch, is where his people lived back, lived on top of the hill back there.
Huh.
Yeah.
I've never heard him, Rattlesnake Dodrell.
Yeah, he's a great man. Rattlesnake was. It's been a lot about him. That's a good book.
Yeah.
Yep. Good book. No, Arlene can't find the one that she can't get it. They claim it's out of print, the one she's been trying to give it. Jenny Wally.
So that was Lynn's great grandmother. Now, this is Park, where the Indians killed her. Killed her and a baby, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, they killed it. No, they didn't kill her. They killed the family. The killed the family.
Beat her child
they
out.
They killed the family and took the baby when they took her.
Yeah. Beat the kid, beat her head, brains out again, a stump or something. Did you read that book?
Grandmother's Cobb's mother I think when, I don't know if she was a sister to her. Anyhow, we're relatives some way, I don't know how. That was the Indians come in and they come to this place. Now they claim that they'd made a mistake, that it wasn't them that they was looking for. But anyhow, her husband was gone, and her and the children was there, and they killed the children, all but the baby, the small baby, and they taken it with them, and they went on. I don't know if it even told where they'd went to. And so this baby had got to crying, they couldn't keep it still, and they knocked it in the head. Just picked up and knocked it in the head, scalped it. She said she could pick its scalp out from the other scalps every time she looked at it. Mm-hmm. And when they'd go to go out a hunting, they'd tie her up to a tree. And so one day they'd tied her up, and I guess they used the deer hide strings or something like that. What all they'd have then would be a leather string of some kind. And it'd come a rain, and she got to working her hands and working around there, and by George, she got it loose. And she took off, and she come for quite a ways, and she come to the forks of a road, and I forget how it was now that they claimed that some ways she was supposed to take one side of the road come to her or something. I don't know just how it all was. And so the Indians was a following her, and that night, well, when it got dark, she'd crawled in a holler log and stayed, and she'd got out the next morning, and whenever she got to where she had to cross the river to get to their home, why, they had the canoe or a log boat made out of what it was, and she hollered for them to come and set her across the river. And whenever this feller heard her, why, he come to get her, and they started back. When they got about halfway across the river, the Indians got to the river and started shooting at him, and the old feller that had come to get her, why, he got scared, and she had to take the and bring the row the thing on across the river to get him in.
There wasn't no Indians lived in this area when you was a boy, was there? There wasn't any Indians in this area, was it, when you was a boy?
No, none as I know of. Never heard of any. The last ones I know of have ever been in this part was I went through Stroud's Creek and killed somebody over here on Stroud's Creek. That's what I hear them talk about.
I've heard that tale, and they caught them two Indians, and they're buried on Rody Wayne's farm.
Are they?
Yeah, I've heard that story. They caught them two and either hung them or shot them or something. I can't remember, and buried them on Rody Wayne's farm.
Well, that's the last ones that I ever know of being in this country, that is. Do any damage.
I forget who it was. It was an old timer that was telling me those two Indians, they stayed two places. What's the name of that holler right above Rexel's on the right hand road, side of the road coming up? Is that Two Lick?
Above Rexel's?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's Two Lick.
They stayed in the head of Two Lick.
That Camp Rock?
Yep. They stayed there, and there's a place over next to where a moor lives now that they stayed. Over on the Erbakan roadside, you know.
I know if they went to that Two Lick Rock, people had digging around hunting for stuff.
I've been there.
Did they ever find anything?
What? Yeah, I couldn't. Didn't know what I was looking for, but that cousin of mine from down Tennessee, he really goes for that. he wasn't there 10 minutes and he done found three or four arrowheads. And I dug there for 2 hours and hadn't found nothing. But he knew what to look for.
I've camped there many a night.
Yeah.
Oh, I've camped there. I expect me and Glenn, maybe a dozen, maybe 25 or 30 nights in our lifetime. I know one time we went up there hunting and neither one of us didn't have a knife with us. We killed four squirrels that evening going up to the camp. We had to skin them with an axe to cook them. Yeah, camped there a lot of time.
Did you ever hear about an old fellow named Lize Sanson?
What?
Lize Sanson, I think his name was.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about him?
I believe Mr. Sanson, High Sanson. It wasn't High Sanson, was it?
Maybe.
Well, they used to live down there at Bob's.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he had, let's see, I believe he had a... He had some brothers, I know. But I don't know just how many. Seems to me like they had a set of twins. He had a set of twin brothers. Hmm. No, nothing only that down at Bald's. I know I think he was part Indian.
Why?
Just from the way he talked and the
way he looked.
Way he looked, yeah. And he was an awful good fella to be around. Now he can tell you the tales, that fella's good.
You remember anything he told you?
No, I could. I know he took a little old log job off of Aikens and he's down there. He's just cutting timber up in that holler there back of where the post office used to be, where the old post office mm-hmm. used to be. And me and Lawrence Cobb was cutting for him up there, and we was boarding there at their place. And that Carrie Jones, that was mm-hmm. his girl, and she was just a young girl there, and we'd be sitting in the, had a double fireplace in each room. We'd be sitting there with the fireplace, talking, and after a while he'd think of one of those tales he'd wanted to tell. He'd say, "Carrie," he said, "jump up and run into the other room." He said, "I want to tell the boys a joke." I can remember that just, and boy, he could really do her now. He could tell. He said, "Jump up and run into the other room."
I was trying to tell Jerry about you all frogging. That's the story you told about frogging. Tell him that.
About that J.T. or Johnny Roach trying to throw gasoline on a torch burner. And he got on fire and he had to jump in the creek. That happened down right where Rexall is now.
So there wasn't nothing there then?
Oh, it's the old, they called it the old Yatter House was there. They had it house. I've stayed in too many a night. I never did hear nothing that hit it. That entered in the house.
It was supposed to be
hated?
Huh? The house was supposed to be hated?
Oh, yeah, the house was supposed to be. Oh, there's a lot of people claim they heard stuff there. Mm-hmm.
Right there's where y'all heard the
right above, scene, right above it in that bottom, so we heard that thing. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was, but I never heard. I know when they built that road around the back of it there, you know, the road used to go in front of the old house there, in front of, between Rexall and the creek, right at the creek, old creek bed.
Yeah, the old road stood there. You used to see where the old road was.
And me and Joe Cobb and I believe it was Cecil and Ludie Bragg, well, I helped build that road up around there. And me and Joe and there three or four of us, we stayed there, caddied in there while we were building that road. I never did hear nothing in the house, but now they claimed it was. And I know down at the other place where the old house down there where they tore down where Jerry Justice used to live and built that other one. Now, they claim they heard things there, and I know Henry Roberts, that's one of my cousins, and I know three or four of them was together, and they was coming down there, and and they didn't know anybody lived in the house. And so they was coming by the house, and just all at once somebody in the house had struck a match or something, like flashed up, said, Henry, he run a few little ways of giggling. I forget how they said he said it. He said, what in the world is that after us, or something like that. So they didn't know anybody had moved in there, and so they thought the ghost had done catched them.
What was fishing like in Birch River, Fred, when you were just a boy?
Well, there was quite a lot of bass in the river.
Yeah.
You know, you go up the middle fork there, the Jones Fork,
yeah,
where the rock cliff is up there, comes off to the creek.
Yeah.
I catch the bass one time up there at that.
Is that right?
Oh, it was about that long. Catch it in my hands.
Huh.
Huh.
That's the way the creek used to run, isn't it?
Still does.
Yeah. Oh, it still runs.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
there.
Okay.
Yeah, up there at the big, that rock cliff there.
Yeah.
I know the last time I reckon I've been to that rock cliff. Me and Glenn and... Me and Glenn and Orver, or me and Glenn and Brady. It's dry enough under there that we... No, it was Jess was with us. We went over to on Skiles one evening and was going to go coon hunting. And we went up to that rock and we... Jerry hadn't moved there yet then, and we stayed there at that rock and got our supper there and stayed there till about 10 o'clock and started up this holler there coon hunting and got away up there just put near to where Rolly had his shinkling, the old hound tree, the coon there. And it's up an old big oak tree, stood just putting yurt by the side of the path, a little old path that went up there. And I said, look, it's getting way along in the morning then, so Glenn and Jess said if I would stay by the tree there, well, they'd go on. So I fixed me, they helped me fix me.